I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a big weekend across Scottish football. How big for Wilfried Nancy? He has the backing of the board, apparently, but what about the fans as Aberdeen come to town? And how different could the picture look depending what happens between Hearts and Rangers at Tynecastle? And it's back to reality for St Mirren after their League Cup high, a Premiership card which includes them against Livingston. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
In the calendar year 2024, Celtic lost 2 matches, one to Hearts, one to Borussia Dortmund. In the calendar year 2025, Celtic have so far lost 16 matches, including back-to-back cup finals, including going out of the Champions League to Kairat Almaty. And now, on Sunday, Wilfried Nancy is trying to avoid losing 5 games in a row and equaling a record created by Celtic in 1947. And I speak as a man born in 1949. It's older than me.
It's taken us all this time to find a stat that predates you.
Yeah.
They've finally done it. Potentially, actually. We need to wait and find out full
time. Of course, yeah.
But it's on the line.
Celtic Park on Sunday will be incredible. I've given you all the stats. You also have the chairman taking his place in the director's box for the last time. Peter Lawwell forced to stand down by abuse directed at him and his family. It is shameful, and the Celtic supporters should regard it as shameful on top of all the other problems.
Scott Allen, how are you?
Yeah, really good, Gordon. Listen, yeah I'm looking good.
Clyde One Christmas party last night. Go well?
Yeah, it was
feeling healthy.
I'm feeling healthy.
Feeling fit?
I've been fitter.
I'm still reeling from the revelations that came onto my desk this morning.
Oh.
That this, of all the Glasgow night spots, Hugh Keevans, I'll never get over this. Look to your left. Look at this guy. Must be one of the most clean cut, well presented footballers. Look at the hair. Slick back hair. He's got the blue eyes. He's always got the gear. The cat house. Ended up in the cat house last night. Of all the places I never thought Scott Allen would frequent. Not judging it, I'm sure it's wonderful. I just can't place you. I just can't place you in there. A good night had by all.
Listen, we've been speaking all week about managers being adaptable. I was adaptable. And it was a long day for me yesterday, but it was a very interesting night. It was good. I really enjoyed it. But looking at the football.
Yeah, well avoided. Keep going.
Yeah, the football second half from Dundee United, and a game after the first 30 minutes, you're looking at it saying Celtic should be three or four goals up. Johnny Kenny just continued to miss chances, but Dundee United second half, once they made it physical, Celtic just couldn't handle it, and they were rightful winners on the night. But all those roads lead to Sunday. Tynecastle, huge game, huge opportunity for Rangers, huge opportunity for Hearts, and Celtic Aberdeen. Because I watched a bit of the Aberdeen game today. I watched a bit of it back. It wasn't a great performance, but I think you kind of knew how that was going to play out. But they'll feel there's a real opportunity to put pressure on, even more pressure on Celtic in that game.
I think Jimmy Tilleen picked a team to play Sparta Prague with Celtic in mind.
It was a couple of changes, wasn't there?
Yeah, 4 changes, and they did not register a single shot on target the whole game. Mm. But they are 7 in a row undefeated in the Premiership.
Yep.
And therefore they will present a challenge for Wilfried Nancy. And I'm afraid to say Wilfried Nancy has found every game so far a challenge.
0141 951 1025. Come on down and let us know what you're thinking. The number one story this week clearly has been Celtic's results and form and life under Wilfried Nancy, and what that means and how much longer he gets. These are the types of discussions we're already having. What is he, 16 days in the job now? Absolutely remarkable, but that is the way it is. So Celtic fans, what's the latest? Usually we would hear from him or hear from the manager, certainly on a Friday. Celtic covered off their pre-match stuff for the Aberdeen game away at Tannadice after the game, so didn't hear from Wilfried Nancy. He's got his head down on the training ground. Reports yesterday, maybe some doubts about his job and all the rest of it, but clearly he's going to take the team against Aberdeen at the weekend. I just pause just in case something utterly mental happens and that's not the case, but nah, come on. even by our standards, I think we can safe to say that will be the case. So where are you now, Celtic fans? I know there will still, because it's just human nature, be some people out there who just think you just can't get rid of a manager this quick, but then others just saying you definitely can, looking at how bad it's been. So let's find our way through it tonight and take a specific look at what's coming up as well. Rangers fans, it's been a quiet week for you, I'm sure. You just sit back and ultimately hope that all of this is good for you on the pitch. Well, Danny Rule spoke today. You won't be surprised to hear it. He largely avoided those types of things, but had some interesting stuff to say and didn't talk down the significance of the game against Hearts at the weekend. How are you feeling ahead of that trip to Tynecastle? Spoke a bit about the new advisory consultancy role that Stig Inge Bjørneby's in and how that's going to help them going into the January window and all that sort of stuff. So it would be nice to hear from you as well. And you St Mirren fans, back to reality. It's over. For the League Cup memories, they'll last forever. It's the overalls back on to take on Livy tomorrow and loads of other games to get our teeth stuck into as well on the usual number. Let's start with Paul, who's in Galston. How's it going, Paul?
Hi, it's going good, thank you.
What are you thinking tonight, Paul? Where are you now on the manager?
I am in the camp of keeping him at least until after the window. You need to give him a window. I think the problem with it is communication. I think there's a big communication problem at Parkhead. Even when he first came, first thing Alistair Johnson said to him was, "Oh, your English is getting better." Now, after hearing some of his interviews, I wouldn't have liked to have heard his English before. So,
I think his English is good, no?
Well, but I just don't think he's communicating to the players.
Yeah, that could be a different issue, Hugh, and maybe this is a discussion not for us. We're not linguistic experts, but I know he's got an accent, but his English is good. There's nothing he can't. Yeah. Really, obviously, there's going to be a turn of phrase that's different.
Yeah, he speaks English with a French accent. I mean, it's simple as that. He's lived in America for many years, coached in America, speaking to English-speaking people for many years. So that, for me, is not an issue at all.
To be fair, though, and maybe Scott won, because you, in terms of with the footballer's hat on, to be fair to Paul, a communication issue doesn't need to be a language barrier. That can be anything. I'm sure there are communication issues with Scottish managers and not getting their message across. Does it look like he's getting his message across?
Does it look like he's getting his message across? Well, he tried it with the tactics board as well, didn't he? There's all sorts of ways to communicate with your players. I just think it's a team really struggling for confidence, and once you make it that wee bit physical and you put Celtic under real pressure, they're constantly in 1v1s at the back. I don't think naturally they have players who are really good in these situations. What I would say,
do you know, I'd like to know on that, right? I wonder, just curious, if he clearly felt the tactics board was the right thing to do, and he felt it was get the visual message across. That's, and maybe, fine, as Paul says, maybe he thought that that would be the best way of communicating at this time, whether it's a language barrier or not. You wonder if he really, really wants to use it again, but feels like he can't because everybody laughed and scoffed.
Somebody has obviously had a word with him about it, and he'll understand the way he was mocked by
Is that right?
I'm not saying it's right, but fans have an obsession with these things. Yeah. And just to address Paul's core point, which is give him time. If he were to lose the fifth game against Aberdeen at Celtic Park, then I'm sorry, Paul. Where do you actually get real here? Five defeats in a row. First time since 1947 at Celtic Park. If that happens, his position is untenable. I happen to think it's untenable now, but five in a row, you have to be kidding me if you want to keep him.
I think he can go on losing and keep his job. But I do think that, you know, there is a problem between him and the players getting to know. I mean, the last game, Tierney was doing the hokey-cokey. He was coming off. No, he's staying on. No, he's coming off again. And you're like, I don't think he knows the players well enough. He said how many training sessions? Three?
But this stuff about training sessions, I mean, the players clearly don't understand in-game what's going on. They don't know where they're supposed to be. The number of times that Callum McGregor is called over for discussions, the players clearly do not understand.
But that's what I mean. It's like, if you remember, I can't remember when it was, Celtic went down to 10 men, Brendan Rodgers was in charge, he called Callum McGregor over, spoke to him for about 10 seconds, Callum went back on the park, rearranged it, and we went on to win the game. Now, Nancy pulled Callum McGregor over, said something to him, mumbled, and Callum went on. Player said, what is it we're doing? And Callum McGregor almost shrugged as if he said, you know, I don't understand what we're doing. So that's where I think the communication problem is.
No, you keep on trying to make a point of his English not being great.
No, he's not saying that. And whether it takes time for you to get in the same page people, regardless of language.
Well, no, the number of times. Remember that Callum McGregor has been a long time Celtic player, has won a tremendous number of trophies. Callum McGregor knows exactly what he's doing. I think the players are confused by what the manager is trying to do.
Do you think that can improve in time?
I think there's a lack of belief from the players and the manager just now.
They're not having them.
That's, in some teams it's as simple as that. I think when a new manager walks in and you hear things that happen in training grounds, but you're constantly judging from the first minute, same as the manager's judging you. To me,
are you? Talk to us about that as a player.
Yeah.
New manager comes in.
Yeah.
You made your mind up almost quite quickly.
So sometimes even after the first day. And a lot of the times when it's, you're of the opinion where, don't know about him, it usually ends with him losing his job quite early on. I think structurally, out of possession, Celtic like really easy to play against. Like I said, there's the amount of times they're 1v1 defending and they're not good in the individual moments. Mm-hmm. That's easy to play against, especially for a team like Dundee United, who when they turn over the ball, they can just shape a ball down the wing, and within seconds you've got a throw in that half, your team's up and you're causing problems. Celtic have to be very flexible, trying to be creative at edge of the box, and in that first half there was some brilliant football. Football's both boxes.
I would love to hear, Celtic have an awful aversion to transparency, so you'll never hear, but I would love to say, who took the final decision on Wilfried Nancy? How many people spoke to him, and what was it that sold you on him? Because he looks hopelessly out of his depth.
Thank you to Paul. What about Ian, who's on the other line? What's your take on it all? Ian, Paul wants to give the manager a bit more time. How are you feeling?
I'd like to say good evening, gentlemen. And first of all, can I speak to Hugh Keevans, please?
On you go, Ian.
Now, Mr. Hugh Keevans, I'm going to ask you what like your memory is. I'm the guy for Aberdeen. Yeah, a couple of times the last few months, boycotting, not spending any money to the pools and the windfall and matches. Do you remember me now?
I do. You have £50,000 worth of shares in Celtic.
Aye. Thanks very much. But it's not, right.
I'm a journalist. I remember these things.
Well, you have a good memory.
I remember what you had for breakfast this morning.
Like your age. Right, I would like to say, I have accepted defeat on Sunday. But I'm going to go even further and say, team to get beaten Sunday. To get rid of that manager. That manager sacked in Dundee. By Dundee. Band operator, dive dumper rollers and telehandlers. I can see you don't have the players to play 3-4-3. Several games he's played now and he's no changing. No making any progress at all.
So what a place that is to get to, because it's a personal preference. I'm not telling Ian how to feel. I don't think I've got that in my makeup. I don't think I could ever want my team to lose, no matter what the outcome was. But I suppose, Hugh, what struck me tonight, and I'm listening to your reaction to the first caller, not only is it a fair conversation to have to remove the guy after four games, you sound at you sound as if you think it's controversial to suggest that he shouldn't be removed after four games, which is just, and I'm not even having a go at you for that. I just can't believe how extreme this picture is.
I'd refer you back to last night's programme, which I listened to intently for 2 hours, and Gordon DL, you know, people always think he's a journalist. In my case, he's a journalist, and therefore his views are extreme, and he only does it to create controversy. Gordon DL, my friend, former player, former manager, and he said last night that if it were up to him, he'd be away now. And one of the reasons he cited was when you have a Jim Goodwin or a Stephen Robinson or a Derek McInnes and they make a change, Wilfred Nancy seems not to understand how to counteract that change. And second half in all of the games, Celtic are badly caught out. The second half of the cup final was an embarrassment. And therefore, if you think journalists are all extreme in their views, don't listen to me. Listen to Gordon DL.
I mean, I'm tentative about holding him up as the authority on this subject, but I see what you're getting at. I feel like the debate, though, Scott, is a bit more simple. Rather than arguing about whether that's true or not, and whether he does look out his depth, or whether he can react in game change, surely the only question that really matters is, do you think that will stop happening in game 7, 8, 9 and 10? And then he turns this around and that stops being the case. That's probably the more relevant way to look at it, because the results kind of speak for themselves over the last few games. Granted, they probably should have beat Dundee. Did they deserve to lose against Dundee United? Maybe didn't deserve to lose overall against Hearts, but they did.
Just playing well in patches, and it's just not enough.
Can that stop being the case? How quickly can he learn? How quickly can it improve?
I think
that's got to be the big question, surely.
Yeah, but I think already we're going game to game. See if you can see that. I think you did see signs of what he's looking for in an attacking sense in the first half. But ultimately, it's undone by that signer. You can't get away with playing 45 minutes at Celtic. You just can't.
So, Ian, definitely in the situation that you actively want Celtic to lose at the weekend and fall further behind your rivals.
Well, unfortunately, it's came to this decision. Time the camera to him in the dugout, like a man lost, very, very uncomfortable. In my own words, be taken out of there for his own mental health.
I don't know if we need to project that onto him. His mental health might be absolutely fine. I don't think that is worth us speculating on. But yeah, it can't be easy, that's for sure, if that's what we mean. But let's not conflate the two issues. Thank you to Ian on the line. We will return with more of your calls and your opinions after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here. Where were you at the Clyde 1 Christmas party last night? Incidentally, the number of people that asked me your whereabouts, just a bit late for you.
With Lady Evans and attending to my grandchildren.
You like a more sophisticated event these days, don't you? You don't want to be jumping about the cat house with Scott Allen and his pals, do you?
No. The Dazzler and
well, he wasn't there either, you know.
Was he?
He was not.
No.
He changed man. Don't know what happened.
It was Ross Bowie's idea.
I came into the office and he was sitting in his Under Armour tracksuit yesterday, so I knew that was him and knew he wouldn't be going. And he's like, he's a man. He likes to remain mysterious.
Well,
play essentials.
You do surprise me. Anyway, I gave £1,000 to Casper Kids. I've no money left.
That's a good point. Okay, let's go back to the phones and see what's out there. Lots of conversation still about Celtic, because it just gets more and more interesting. Let's bring in David, who is on the line. What are your thoughts, David?
Hi, Gordon, Hugh, Scott. How are we getting on?
Good.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you. I'm a 49-year-old Celtic fan that grew up going home and away in the 90s. So I know what an unsuccessful Celtic team looks like. And I understand the mass hysteria in Scotland now, when a team has monopolised the trophies for so long, when I'm doing so poorly, it's obviously big news. But the sound bites coming out of the board in the past few days, from Michael Nicholson and Brian Wilson, saying that they want to have unity and Celtic's better when everyone's together. Well, I think the first thing that they need to do is get the Green Brigade either round the table or back in the ground. The atmosphere, it's not the same. I think that as well is affecting the players. I just think that the promise that they're going to learn from the mistakes in the next couple of windows. I just think that's where we need to start from. Get the fans back in the ground in that section, and then we'll judge them on what they do in the window. When it comes to the manager, don't like signing people after four games, but it's not looking great. But I just think getting the Green Brigade back in the ground would be a really good start.
I'm going to be very careful with my words here because I do understand the law as it pertains to libel or slander. There are ongoing issues at Celtic. Police Scotland are investigating these ongoing issues. They relate to intimidation, threats and violence. The board have accused people of assaulting three Celtic officials. Therefore, this is an ongoing legal matter. I have no idea who was responsible, but I have listened to Peter Lawwell and read the statement from Peter Lawwell regarding his personal treatment and why he's standing down as chairman. And I repeat my use of the word shameful. It is shameful that the Celtic chairman has to go under these circumstances. Therefore, while this investigation goes on, I don't think that you make a case for reopening a part of the ground to a group who had been excluded from that part of the ground for reasons which Celtic thought were justifiable. So that's my view on it, that Celtic are entitled. If there has been serious wrongdoing currently being investigated by Police Scotland, Celtic are entitled to take the action which they have taken. The manager's future will not depend upon whether that north curve section of the ground is made open again to the fans who were there. And I do accept what you're saying, David, that they provide the noise, colour, etc. However, the manager is falling down when it comes to football matches. His players' understanding of what he wants them to do. Football-related matters. Wilfried Nancy is in trouble because of Wilfried Nancy, not because of fans.
See, in fairness to David, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, is there not a wider point here that I don't think David's saying sing a few more songs, win football matches, but overall, the relationship between fans and board is broken.
Yep.
So then it then almost comes down to that thing that we said, that let's say Wilfried Nancy does get sacked. Who comes next? Who appoints them? Who takes the accountability for appointing them in the first place?
Yep.
Do the Celtic fans trust those people to get it right if they just got Wilfried Nancy so wrong? You could remove Wilfried Nancy tomorrow and a lot of the issues would still be there. So look, I knew, which is fine, and I'm not even necessarily disagreeing, that you wouldn't go along with David's Green Brigade point. But are we at the stage with Celtic that something big is going to have to give? Whether it's that or whether it's something else, how do they fix this relationship that looks miles apart if it's not something having to give?
I totally agree with you. As I said earlier, Celtic have a terrible aversion to transparency. They really do need to do something about it, but it's always impossible to get to the root of the matter with Celtic. You know, that they could be doing with a summit conference, but at the moment, they are circling the wagons and they're not for talking to supporters at the moment. But the time will come because Celtic have further to fall. To my way of thinking, Celtic have further to fall. Things will get worse before they get better, and they will need to address the relationship with the fans. You can't keep sending them away from the door.
Let's just say you don't get your wish, David, and it stays the way it is for, I don't know, a couple of weeks or a couple of months or whatever. Can the manager turn it round, do you think, from here?
Look, I'm not sure. Whenever I listen the Celtic managers, and I listen to every single word that a manager says in their interviews, like religiously as a Celtic fan. It's like every word, you know what I mean, maybe Brendan Moore, everyone. But when it comes to Wilfred Nancy, I don't even listen to it, because I just no believing it with him now. The one thing I would go back to my original point is the fact that there's got to be dialogue. I mean, at the end of the day, the back pattern with the Celtic board about how much money is in the bank, and Peter Walsh presided over so many trophies and so many of that. The reason that Celtic are so successful and there's so much money in the bank is because of the supporters. You know what I mean? It's the players and the manager. It's not because primarily because of the people on the board. You know what I mean? And Celtic play a rhythm when the Green Brigade's on the ground. It's got to change. I mean, the only way Celtic, we've got enough people in this country that dislike us for us all to be fighting against each other. You know what I mean? The only way Celtic will be successful, especially when there's a stronger Rangers and other stronger teams in the league now, is if we unite as one. And the board are saying that they want to do that. So it's so important that everybody unites just now, because, I mean, at the end of the day, Chris Sutton said the other night, Celtic are looking like a third-place team. You know what I mean? We are obviously missing AJ, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Jota. We're missing some of our first-team starters, but at the end of the day, we still should be doing a lot better than we are.
Third might be generous, and the Wilfred Nancy...
It's the constant disregarding of Motherwell here that I'm finding a bit offensive. I'm only kidding.
Motherwell have won, or rather, Celtic have lost more games under Wilfred Nancy than Motherwell have lost all season.
We're the draw specialists, unfortunately. Thank you very much to David on the line. Neil is on the other line. Neil, I'm still digesting the fan earlier who said that he now actively wants Celtic to lose at the weekend. Could you ever go there? Are you there?
Both, mate. Billy, but good evening, lads. I hope you're all well.
Thank you.
Especially Scott Allen, as he wore a wonderful jersey sometimes. I would never in my entire life, no matter how bad things got, would I want my team to lose. That's an abysmal attitude, and that is where some of our support are at now. To deliberately throw a game to lose a man's job is a disgraceful thing to say. On top of the fact that you should never want your team to lose, no matter who you support, how good or bad you are. That's a terrible attitude, and that's the kind of attitude we don't need at our club right now. But when I came on, when Wilfred Nancy had been appointed, he hadn't even got to the stadium yet, and I remember saying, give him a chance, you know, judging by his results, let him get in the door. I'm judging him by his results, and his results are not good. But I think the blame runs deeper than just him. It's in the boardroom, and it's most definitely on the pitch. But also, I don't believe there's a language barrier. And if there is, we've got players in that team. They're not new. They've been playing under several managers. Some of them internationals, Cal McGregor, James Forrest, Kieran Tierney, Schmeichel. You know, these guys know the game inside out. They've played at the highest level. Schmeichel and Tierney have played in England. Even if there is a language barrier, the language is winning at Celtic. And if players are looking lost, it's up to these guys to pull them aside and say, look, you know the drill. We win trophies, we win games, we go into European competition, we fear no one. At the moment, I fear everybody. And I don't understand, if there's a communication breakdown between the manager and the players, then there shouldn't be a communication breakdown between the captain, our most experienced players, and the rest of the team. I don't reckon that we've got the squad that we should have. I'm so bloody grateful that we are not in the Champions League, because that would have been humiliating. And, yeah, I don't... I'm not praying for him to get sacked, but at the same time, how much longer can this go on? And we've got European games coming up, we've got the Glasgow Derby, we've got the January transfer window. I mean, I can't see an end to this right now.
That's the spot, isn't it, Scott, that people find themselves stuck in. Like, I've obviously been pushing the case all week, so not so much that about Wilfred Nancy or Celtic, but just generally speaking, should Endy sack managers after this period of time. And I feel quite almost, I feel sure that that's a relevant question to ask, and I don't think we should be unfair. And then I've cast my mind forward and think, imagine Celtic lose to Aberdeen and suddenly how could this continue? Because it would even what's your phrase, draws a disaster, defeats a catastrophe.
Yeah.
You know, even if Wilfred Nancy wins this, draws the next one, you're back to where you are. Let's say even wins two, but then loses one, or loses to Rangers, the road back looks longer than Endy could really foresee at this stage.
It's just such an unfamiliar territory for Celtic and Celtic fans over the last few seasons. For me, as I said, I think he is going game to game. The biggest thing for me, I think one of the previous callers made a point about the whole club being connected. I do think that does disrupt a lot of what you're seeing. So I think it all plays its part. And at the same time, I think the board have had and the managers and the players are all there, and why Celtic are in a financially good position. I think that's why, when they were all connected as well. But clarity has been the biggest thing for me in terms of performance. The clarity doesn't look there, and that's why you're seeing such variant in performances, and that's within first 45 minutes, second 45 minutes. The players
tried to get into
looking
this
for leadership, aren't they? That's what it looks like.
Tried to get into this with Tony Watt last night, so I wonder what your take on it. Where, how important is it for those who make the decision? Because we're not entitled to know everything that goes on in the training ground and in the club. That's fine, but how important is it for those who are deciding whether to stick or twist with Wilfred Nancy, that they understand what it's like on a day-to-day basis? Because I know the results are obviously the most, important thing, but I don't know. Does Callum McGregor look Michael Nicholson in the eye, or Paul Tisdale, and say, we're right behind this guy, this guy will get it right? Or is that not the case? That old phrase that the players aren't having him, whatever that means. If that's true,
yes,
can you get that back?
No.
So then, how important is it that those that are making the decisions have a real grasp on the way it is behind the scenes, as well as the results that everybody can see?
Well, there's no way they're going to be up at Lennox Town on a day-to-day basis. So there, you would imagine your senior players there having conversations with them. Right now, things you're hearing, things you're first and foremost, mm-hmm. the performances you're seeing, don't look like a team who have real. Not saying not have them, but don't look as if they have a real belief.
Because don't get me wrong, I don't necessarily believe in player power to the point that players should be able to just, we don't like the way these things are, so we'll just, you know, and then the manager will get the sack. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
But you've got, there has to be somebody up there, somebody in the club needs to know what the true level, because Paolo Bernardo gets wheeled out to the press yesterday. Yeah. He drew the short straw, possibly quite literally. And he said, yeah, you know, we're behind the manager. And that's great, but they're always going to say that in front of the camera. Do they all feel that way?
No.
How do you know them?
Well, I use years of experience in looking at Callum McGregor in particular. He looks bewildered by him. And that when they're having huddles on the park to try and work out what it is he wants, and it is palpably failing, palpably falling apart game by game.
Thank you very much to Neil on the line. Don't forget, every caller that gets on air tonight, you're going to be entered into the draw for the tickets to Air Races. It's the Golf Inn Prestwick New Year Race Day. It's Friday the 2nd of January. You'll probably still be off work. That's a brilliant day out, that. Seven big races, street party, entertainment. And tonight, it's extra special because it's Legends Lounge tickets as well. So, welcome drink, table for the day, private lounge, private bar, betting facilities, that sort of thing. You can, of course, get your tickets at air-racecourse.co.uk. Should be a top day, that. But anybody who comes on the show to make a point goes into the hat as well, which is nice. So we'll announce the winner before the end of the show, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Every night I tell you all about Cash for Kids at this time of year, and just how important it is that you help us and donate and fundraise. But I think it's way more important we hear from the type of people that benefit from your money. So let's hear from Francine from Sticky Fingers. They run children's activity clubs during the holidays to help families in need, and she's been telling us why Mission Christmas is so important.
One single mother of three messaged me last year after receiving her vouchers to tell me that the vouchers were literally a lifesaver, as she had absolutely no food in her house at all. Unfortunately, this is happening in Scotland at the moment. Basic items are so very expensive and many families cannot afford any luxuries at all, even at Christmas.
I think we all agree. We're disagreeing on everything tonight, but surely we all agree every child deserves a Christmas, and we need you to help us make that a reality. Donate now, Clyde1.com/mission. Every penny goes to those families that need it the most, so you can help if you get involved. We'd love to give you a shout out as well, whatever it is you're doing to fundraise. It's all Mission Christmas related, and it's thanks to Jane D. Pierce.
Are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans is here, Scott Allen alongside him, both waiting.
Is Partley here?
He's here, and I think he's doing quite well actually. I think he's fine.
As they say in Glasgow, hanging like a washing.
Did you see there was a clip gone out, a few media outlets put it out, that Danny Rule had been dishing out chocolate Santas at the training ground today. So there was one in the office there, and I saw him making a beeline for it as soon as he bit Santa's head.
Blood sugars were a bit low.
So some sugar. He's made it about his health now. I can't take the mickey out anymore. He's turned it all serious on us. Oh dearie me. Thomas is in East Kilbride. Hi Thomas.
Hey, how you doing, panel?
Good, you?
Good, Thomas.
Hi.
What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I've had enough. It has to go. These three defeats, and that's up against St Mirren, losing the cup. I've had enough.
The thing is, though, right, Thomas, so he's obviously not going before this game, right? So what then at the weekend? Are you in that camp where you hope they lose?
I hope they lose. I hope Aberdeen come out and...
Explain the logic to me. And I know you pay your money, you're a Celtic fan, I'm not, so I get that. But let's say that happens, then whoever takes over is now further behind in the league and has got a worse position to try and pick up. How could you want them to lose?
He's not got it there. There's no fight against the team. The team are not supporting them.
I don't think that Thomas's point of view, which was earlier put forward by Ian and Aberdeen, I'm certain that 99% of the Celtic supporters disagree with that. They want Celtic to win on Sunday.
Two's quite a big sample already, though, by this stage of the show.
But the concern of the supporters is based on having a look at the team, having a look at matches played so far, and fearing for the future. Next four games, Aberdeen, Livy away, Motherwell away, and Rangers. Now, I'm not sure that Wilfred Nancy will get 6 points out of that.
Somebody did make a good point earlier, though. It's actually the speed at which the confidence of Celtic winning a game has evaporated.
Yeah.
There used to only be a couple, if we're being honest, there used to only be a couple of fixtures in the league that you would look at and think, right, that could be hard for Celtic. And they would be your obvious, you know, away at difficult venues, or maybe away at places they'd struggled in the past. But I can't remember which caller put it forward. They don't have confidence they're going to win any of these games. Surely they won't keep losing. How could Celtic keep losing forever?
Ange Postecoglou lost at Livy. Brendan Rodgers found Livy a difficult place, and so will Wilfried Nancy. Motherwell are the real surprise packet of the season, and playing Motherwell at Fir Park, I don't see Celtic getting anything from Motherwell.
Motherwell pick holes in that setup.
Yeah, I mean, Rangers play
but
at
then
Celtic
again,
Park.
Just maybe, I don't know if this is me going into self-preservation mode, the best way to get at the Celtic team so far appears to be a kind of direct physical approach, and you know, maybe Motherwell don't do that, and maybe Motherwell are not as suited to that.
No, I would just say that's the sort of teams they've came up against so far.
But it's the bit that's really worked, though, hasn't it? You know, where they get, if it is the back three,
they isolate,
and you know, and make life really uncomfortable. Because you saw it, Dundee United could not do it at all in the first half, but then they did.
Yeah, but they'll be aggressive with their press, and Motherwell will have answers for that. If they get past that first press, then the space is still there, just in a different way.
Aberdeen will be difficult on Sunday. The atmosphere inside the ground will be peculiar, to say the least. Livy away, has been a hard job. I mean, Rangers.
Do you not expect Celtic to win Sunday here?
I, you know, Scott, I've given up. I don't know what to expect.
Asking him to predict a game.
But when Celtic scored first at Tannadice, I thought they're so good, this could be 3 or 4 by half time, and it should have been. But the second half collapse again, like the cup final. I really have no idea how they got on against Aberdeen, but what I do know is that all managers find Livingston a hard place, and they are rotten this season. That's why they're bottom of the league, but it will still be a hard game. Motherwell away, I don't think Celtic will get anything there, and the way Danny Rule has Rangers going, and I know people keep on telling me you get conjunctivitis watching them. That's not the point. They pick up points, and if they go to Celtic Park and beat Celtic, then somebody tell me how he keeps his job.
I'm almost more interested in the sort of law of averages as well, though. Like, what sort of winless run could Celtic realistically go on in this league before they accidentally win a game? Or do you know what I mean? Or they win a game that they don't deserve.
It's not even winless. They're not winning. They're looking at a draw.
You know, even the other night. Because let's say they start on Sunday like they started the other night, but they're 2-0 up because they take the chances that come along.
They win the
That's
game.
Not impossible, is it?
No.
Because we've just seen it the other night, and we're talking about the difference between sliding the ball past the post and sticking it in the bottom corner. Or Dyson made his chance. I can't even begin to analyse Dyson made his chance. That, as bad as Celtic seem, as negative as everything is, I'm not sure I'd put loads of money on them to beat Aberdeen. But that's not impossible, is it? Like, they start, because they started Hearts well.
Yeah.
They didn't start St Mirren well, but the first half was fine. So is it that impossible to think that they could find themselves 2-0 up and then everything feels a little bit different?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I just feel at the same time, though, the organisation off the ball is so poor. So if you're not clinical, then they will give chances away, and they have done, and they've been punished for it.
It's going to be what a weekend it's going to be. Thomas, another one that wants Celtic to lose. I know who I want to lose. Either of these two when we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, Beat the Pundit time on a Friday night. Most of you will be finished up work for the festive period as well. There should be a spring in your step. Let's see what you've got for us on the quiz tonight. It's 0141 951 1025, and the lines close as always at 7.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here at 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in. Absolutely wall to wall opinions on Wilfried Nancy and Celtic and where they go from here, and the board and Aberdeen and the Green Brigade and wanting Celtic to lose at the weekend. Just a flavour of what we've had so far. If you want to add anything else to that already lengthy list, you know where we are. It might be a good opportunity to switch focus as well. How big a game is it going to be between Hearts and Rangers? The beauty of that fixture is that's always big. That's always blockbuster at Tynecastle. You throw into the mix, Hearts are looking at the prospect of being top at Christmas. Rangers feel like they're recovering under a new manager, and they're either side of that Celtic team that we've just been speaking about. So get all your thoughts in there, please. And we'll look forward to that. We'll hear from Danny Rule as well. So it might be a good time to get involved, Rangers fans. 0141 951 1025. We'll play this first, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see who we've got on the line. John's in air. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Yourself?
Good, John. Most people, when they come on, they're on for the first time. Can I add you to that club?
You can admit a first time club.
Good. Who would you rather play?
Probably Scott Allen. Get a better chance.
Oh,
wow.
No, it's just because you're hungover. That's all.
I'm not.
Nothing to do with your knowledge. I'll tell you.
He'll be a little bit slow because he's rough.
Exactly. Hold on a minute. Don't tell me the Beat the Pundit coin's gone walkies. Surely not. The season of goodwill. No, I'm not interested coins. In the 50 pence coin. Oh. Who has stolen the Beat the Pundit coin at Christmas? They can make a Christmas film out of this. Get the cameras in here. No, this is unthinkable. Right, I will humour you for the purposes of moving the show, and I'll use this fifth.
I've got it.
Right, good. My Christmas was nearly ruined there. Have you found it in amongst the tinsel? Brilliant. Good. Right, if it's the blue side of the coin, it's blue Hugh. If it's the red side, it will be Scott Allen. Let's see how we go. It is blue Hugh up against John in Ayr. A sigh of relief there from Scott Allen in the corner. Right, John, what I'll do is I'll get rid of him. Not permanently, unfortunately, yep. But in terms of what he can hear. And then it's just you and I. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. And don't forget, every question you get right, we donate £10 to Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures. Okay with the extra pressure?
Yeah.
Good. 30 seconds.
Yeah, fine with that.
On the clock, and your time starts now. Name the last team Celtic beat.
Pass.
Name any current Rangers player who's been capped for Scotland.
John Searle.
Scotland's Tom Kearney plays for which English Premier League club?
Fulham.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Ross County.
How many current Scottish Premiership teams has Tony Watt played for?
Five.
What was the score the last time Hearts played at Ibrox?
2-0 Hearts.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
That's got you up for that.
What are you two laughing at over there?
Brilliant. No, the music was good.
What about that? Was banging, to be fair.
What was it? Because you looked really taken by
it. It was like a remix of Pitbull Hotel Room.
Hold on. And you liked that?
Yeah.
Jeez, Mr. Worldwide over there. That's incredible.
Change your room before the game, wasn't it, Hugh?
That's brilliant. Right, are you ready? 30 seconds to you, Hugh. Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Who was the last team Celtic beat?
Pass.
Name any current Rangers player who's been capped for Scotland.
Barron.
Scotland's Tom Kearney plays for which English Premier League club?
Fulham.
Who are bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Pass.
How many current Scottish Premiership teams has Tony Watt played for?
Oh, four.
What was the score last time Hearts played at Ibrox?
2-0 Hearts.
Name any outfield Rangers player who's played in every league game. Quick, name one. 3, 2, 1. That's pretty. Couldn't even think of a Rangers player. Right, how do you think that went, John?
I think I'm beaten by one.
Ooh.
Quite easy tonight.
Listen, hopefully. I don't care, because all I wanted was to avoid Gordon Dale's
last night.
Donut.
What about him?
Oh,
you missed it. You were out at the party. You got a zero last night.
No way.
Gordon Dale got a zero. Like? They were quite tough. It was 2-0, but nevertheless, he's always banging on about how his form's good and his percentage. He got a zero. It was incredible. What a moment. Right. Name the last team that Celtic beat.
St Mirren.
Nope.
Livingston.
Nope.
Hibs.
Right. Any chance? I'll tell you. Dundee. Martin O'Neill's last game
last
in charge.
Game,
yeah, home. Okay, great. Come on,
so it was.
Anyway, right, 0-0 after the first question. Name any current Rangers player who has been capped for Scotland. Now, the more obvious one was the option that John took. He went for John Souter. Yeah. You could also have had Liam Kelly. You went for Conor Barron, which was an interesting shout, Hugh. How many caps Shinky's got?
One.
He does have one, so we'll include him. Well done. Right, so we're level, aren't we? Tom Kearney plays for which English Premier League club? It is Fulham. You both got it, so we're still level. Bottom of the Championship, Ross County. Oh, we've been talking
so
about it.
I'm so surprised that you didn't get that.
We spoke about it all of last Saturday, because the result was coming in. Incredible. Yeah. So John goes one in front. How many current Premiership teams has Tony Watt played for? Celtic, Hearts, Motherwell, Dundee United, St Mirren. It's five, and John got it.
Oh, John!
I knew you were in trouble at that point. And the score the last time Hearts played at Ibrox was 2-0 Hearts. John got it.
Oh,
John's absolutely squished it. I gave you the chance to get some sort of respectability back, and you couldn't even take it. The only outfield Rangers players who've featured in every game. Nicholas Raskin famously hasn't featured in every game. Remember that? We spent days on it. JD Gassama and James Tavernier. Now off the bench perhaps, but they've certainly featured in all the games. So John, not only did you win, that was convincing. 1, 2, 3, 4, a 5-2 victory. John, you must be happy with that.
I'm happy that I'm more happy the money goes to the charity.
Ah, you're a good man, John. You are 50 quid from you, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures. And it's not all lost, 20 quid from you, Hugh, to Cash for Kids, thanks to our friends at Hill End Motors as well. So I'm afraid it was an absolute doing for you, Hugh, but you gave some money in there as well. Who's your team, John?
Rangers.
You're a wee bit excited this week, John, because it's not you that's getting all the crisis talks.
Yeah, I'm a wee bit relieved there's no Rangers for a change. That's been the first time in a little while. I've been a season ticket holder for a long time now. I'm a bit worried about the weekend, just with the amount of injuries we've got at the moment. And then obviously Danny Rowe's press conference today confirming there are a few more injuries, which isn't good. So it's going to be an interesting game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think question mark, I think, was the phrase over Bojan Miovski. He said Lyle Cameron, but no offence to Lyle Cameron, he's not been playing anyway, so it's not any worse than it was.
I don't understand why he's not had a chance, Lyle Cameron, because he's very much a creative player, which we do lack in that midfield.
Yeah, that's certainly a case to be had. I just mean in terms of, you probably can't count it as a massive loss if that player's not been playing, but Miovski
is. So who else is doubtful apart from Miovski?
No, those are the only new ones, just on top of kind of what's already there.
Not like a Chirmiti at Tynecastle.
You don't?
Not from what I've seen on Monday night's game. I just didn't think he'd done enough at all. I think Miovski would be a big miss, certainly for a game like that. But I think Mikey Muir's absolutely providing the creativity now. I thought he was excellent. Again, playing a bit more centrally.
For the narrative, Hugh.
Yeah.
Kind of be doing with a draw. I want a statement.
No.
Just a statement win either way. That gives us a lot to get our teeth into, because that's it. That is there equally for both. Imagine Hearts win and stretch their gap over Rangers to 12 points going into Christmas. That would be a heck of a statement. And similarly, if Rangers, after the week Celtic have had, were to go level on points with Celtic and then cut that advantage for Hearts.
Yeah,
I just think either way we're in for, you know, the conclusions to be drawn either way. They'll probably go and draw, and it will be kind of as you were. But
Derek McInnes has beaten Rangers, he's beaten Celtic. He has an immense opportunity on Sunday. However, Danny Rule, 20 out of his last 24 points, and I repeat, it doesn't matter that they look hopeless. They're getting there. They have doggedness. It was the same against Hibs on Monday night. Apparently the crowd going off their head. But as I told Andy Halliday on Monday night, Hibs, spineless, won't score a goal. And they did not.
Did you say that before the game?
You did.
Yeah. Every time they see a big hurdle, Hibs fall over it because they're spineless. But... Ooh. Rangers kept on going, got the goal. Manny Fernandez, you know, one of the most criticised players at the club. And they will take that doggedness with them. And Sunday, of course, the utter fascination of it all.
Yeah.
Rangers kicking off at 1:30. By the time Celtic kick off, they'll have a fair indication whether Rangers have won or lost at Tynecastle. A win for Rangers at Tynecastle and the crowd at Celtic Park are on the backs of Wilfried Nancy and the players from minute one. Or Rangers lose and Celtic think, let's go and see what we can get out of this.
That's the beauty of it. And I obviously, especially in this show, I know it's always, it's just the city and it's that rival versus that rival, but Hearts are a key part of all this.
A huge part of this.
So that's what's so interesting about the weekend.
Yeah, both games are fascinating, but I think if you're one of the Celtic players, you have to take care of your own business. They need to.
Oh, yeah.
They have to. That is where their full focus has got to be on, and what happens in Tynecastle will happen. Really difficult game for Rangers. I know Danny Rowles produced wins, not always performances, but that was one thing that we were pointing at Russell Martin. There was no performance and he wasn't getting results. Danny Rowles has absolutely done that for Rangers, but that's a real difficult venue. And if you're a Hearts player, it's all the motivation in the world. Obviously, extend your lead at the top and stay top at Christmas time.
I feel like there have been a few times in recent seasons, because obviously Rangers have had various degrees of form or lack of in recent seasons, that maybe we have built up Rangers going to Tynecastle as being as being difficult, and then Rangers have come through. I was looking at the list there, though. It's a bit of a mixed bag. So again, in February, Rangers went 1-3-1. The one before that was the 0-0 draw. Heading into the season prior, that 3-3 draw. But remember, that was at the end of the season.
Had strikers that were scoring goals.
And and it's not that it has any like direct relevance, but Rangers haven't lost there that often in recent seasons, even at times when you thought they might have. I think that's more what I was sort of alluding to, whether that happens this weekend,
I think,
or not.
The Rangers fans are still at that stage of looking at it all and thinking, the title? Really? Us?
They just need to keep producing results and get to January, and then look to add, which obviously Danny Rowe spoke about today, didn't he? They was expecting to have some players in before the Celtic game.
Yeah, let's hear from Danny Rule. Thanks to John, and well done again on Beat the Pundit. Danny Rule talking today, because of course this week Rangers added Stig Inge Bjørnaby, former Liverpool defender. He's come in on a consultancy and advisory basis. Obviously there are vacancies there, because Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart have not been replaced. So clearly in there to try and help with that ahead of the January window. Let's hear what the manager had to say coming up.
I speak with players at the moment, have some conversations, all the things what we have to do, and then let's see how quick we can move forward. All the players, they come and help us soon. The wish is to get straight a lot of players on the 1st of January in, but I think in this window will be timing one part, and the second thing is preparation. There's a mix from us together. I think I put some names on the recruitment, give me some recommendation, but yeah, we have a daily communication to each other, and then let's see what is possible.
I'd need to listen back, but I would imagine that most years on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've started debating who needs what in January by the 19th of December.
Yeah,
but it's been a bit busy. It feels like there's been so much madness happening. We've not really, I mean, we'll be under 2 weeks then until the window opens.
See, I think Rangers have overtaken Celtic in that department by bringing in Stig Inge Bjørnaby.
I don't know if he's any good, though.
Yeah, well, you know,
to wait and see. Might be rubbish.
Of course, but Celtic's recruitment is rubbish. And the same people who brought in the rubbish are going to be dealing with the January transfer market.
Well, but then, to be fair, on the Rangers side of it, they better hope he's good, because their recruitment wasn't good in the summer either. I know it was different people, but you know, there's not a lot to go on there.
They have to bring in players to improve the starting 11, for me. They have to come into the team as soon as January starts. That's going to be the challenge.
Let's ask Mark in Springburn for his thoughts. Hi, Mark. Hi, Mark, can you hear us? Nah, he's just stuck us on hold. He's like, not listening to them. Just stick the phone down and we'll get back to them in a second. We'll see if the producers can speak to Mark and see what he's up to. What do you think he was up to? Background noise.
Maybe
he's sticking the washing on. Don't blame him. Let's hear a bit more from Danny Rule while we wait on the challenge of Hearts at the weekend.
We will not win the league on the weekend. Yeah, this is also crucial. But of course, to go in such a game with our run, to face on a team who is at the moment top of the league, is good. It's great. This is the challenge we want. It will be a top game. Everything is on. This is why we play football, to have such a game. We know we can make the next step. Yeah, I think then we will be just 6 points behind them. One more game to go. If you take this, then it could be 3, and then the situation changed from when I'm arrived to now. But we know it's still a long way to go.
Do you know what I like about that? Managers always say, oh, never look at the league table. No, don't read newspapers. He's worked it out. He knows exactly what's in it for him to get that win at Tynecastle, so it's in his mind. Mark, he clearly believes.
Sorry, Mark is back, I think. Mark, can you hear us now?
Hi, how you doing, Pat?
Good, man. What are you thinking tonight, Mark?
I've got 2 points to make, one of the weekend with Angels, and I've got a little bit of a wild card about transfers.
Start there then, because we were actually just talking about that.
The prediction is just a prediction. I think if the Angels beat Hearts at Tynecastle on Sunday, I think they're going to win the league. If it's a draw, then it's still up for grabs between the three teams. I think if Rangers can go there and make a statement win, I think they can go on and win the league.
And if they lose?
If they lose, they're still in it, but doesn't look as promising. But I think with January coming up, I think if they make a statement win on Saturday or Sunday, I think they go and win the league.
Put a lot of emphasis on the win, though. That feels unfair on Hearts then, to say that, you know, if Rangers win it, they'll go on and win the league, if they, you know, but even if they lose, they could still win it. Do you see what I mean by that? Is that writing off Hearts a bit then?
I think if Derek McInnes lost on Sunday, there'd be, to a certain extent, it would feel like a bubble bursting.
Do you think so though?
No.
Is that more us on the outside that does that? Because don't get me wrong,
you can quite easily lose a game.
Loads of people will say, see, full time, Hearts nil, Rangers 2. Loads of people are going to make that point. They're going to phone in and say, I think this is it. I think this means Rangers can go and win the league. But you go back to that, I don't know if it is a cliche or whatever. You try to say Hearts wouldn't have taken being top at Christmas. Like, it's incredible to think where they are.
Without doubt. And as I say, they've already beaten Rangers and beaten Celtic and beaten both of them convincingly. I just think that all of the pressure's on Derek McInnes on Sunday.
Oh, there's no. So you think that if Rangers lose, that they won't come under criticism? There must be pressure on Rangers to go and try and resurrect something here.
Well, as I said, the Rangers fans, and we'll go back to Mark in a second, but I think the Rangers fans started out thinking, the league, us. But that's not the mindset now. And I think that's Danny Rowe's mindset. As I say, he comes out and tells you what the point differential will be, because he's had a look at the league table, he has read newspapers, and for me, there's a greater pressure on Derek McInnes.
I know whose shoes I'd rather be in.
Derek McInnes's?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Listen, I don't think either. I don't think if Rangers win, it guarantees them to go on and win the league. And if Hearts were to lose, I don't think that means their bubble's burst. I think ultimately Hearts will lose games coming up, and Rangers, this team's not going to go on the rest of the season and not drop points. I think performance will creep into it, and some team will get a result against them. So we're only in December, the teams are all in it. I think that's what we want. You want a healthy title race with three teams involved. I think that would be good.
Mark, what was your wild card? I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, I'll get on to that, but just quickly, I just think the momentum for Rangers would maybe, sure, it would give them a massive lift. I know exactly what the panels are saying, but I think it would give them a massive lift. And then with January on the horizon and Celtic the way they are, in 3 games time, I just think it would be a massive win for the team. Just in the rest of the league, it would be a statement. But see, I've got a little bit of a wild card for a transfer. I heard today, obviously, Rangers have got a lot of issues in the strike department, and it is a wild card, and I wanted to put it to the panel, but somebody who knows the club, who knows the league, Alfredo Morelos.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, he's scored 22 goals, 14 assists in the last 68 games since 2024. He's looking fit, and he plays in Colombia. Would that cost a lot? I just wanted to put that to the panel and see your thoughts.
On the basis that this season cannot get any madder, Hugh, yeah. I'd have to say I can't see it. But tell you what, we've shown that anything's possible at the moment.
Really, absolutely nothing.
Martin O'Neill came back.
Hey, and might come back again. And might come back importantly. Again.
I just wonder if Morelos might be of a mind to say, nah, been there, done that.
So might Rangers. Listen, it was great when it was great, you know, but yeah, it also came to an end for a reason, and I don't know. Listen, if Mark's saying he's in form, and I wouldn't pretend to know otherwise.
I thought Mark was going to say Lyndon Dykes, because I read that he's going to be available in January, and I thought he was going to say Lyndon Dykes, but Morelos is a far more glamorous shout. But I just think he's done Glasgow.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised. I think you just need to look at the new board. I would be very surprised that they went for that sort of target, obviously, in Colombia. And as for as much as he's had some great performances, he didn't always carry himself in the right manner for me as a Rangers player. So I think Rangers have got to look at someone else coming in.
Well, you never know, Mark. Nothing would surprise you in this season. Thank you to Mark on the line. We will take more of your calls when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here at 01419511025, and we would love for you to get in touch between now and the end of the show. There's a good teaser here, actually, very topical, I like it, from Aaron in Dunbar. He got on the email fulltime@clyde1.com and emailed it in. That's the aim of the game. So you get in touch and we hopefully use your question on the show. And you get the pride, if you like. It's the personal pride of knowing that the pundits struggled to answer your question. That's really what it's all about. So can you name the last eight Scottish players to score in a League Cup final? Can you name the last eight Scottish players to score in a League Cup final? It spans... No, I'm not going to tell you the time frame yet.
McGregor. Celtic's McGregor.
No.
James Forrest.
Yes. Not where I thought you would start, though, I have to
League
say.
League Cup, did you say that?
I did. James Forrest scored in the 2017 2-0 against Motherwell.
Scott Wright?
No. Again, not where I thought you would start. Hint, hint. The League Cup final.
Yeah, which was played the other day.
Uh-huh.
Rio Hatate scored. Iyengar scored.
He's not from Coatbridge.
Oh, Marcus Fraser.
Marcus Fraser. Oh,
come on.
It's quite an accolade, that Marcus Fraser, isn't it? Winning it with two different teams that aren't one of the big teams, so to speak.
Ross County and St Mirren. I mean, when you look back in
the
your
odds
career,
of that, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the... Did I tell you the most boring stat attached to that achievement? No.
No.
That Kevin Clancy was the ref both times. There you go. See if you're struggling to get to sleep tonight, remember that one. That'll tip you over the edge. Andy is on the line as a Rangers fan. Andy, how big's this one at the weekend?
Well, I've got all this going here. You're all doing all right?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good.
I think this is the way I really want to keep this run going. I know you say the draw is a disaster, but they're top of the league, so I've cut a bit of slack to Rangers, but I really think we need to win it. But my worry is, right now, is who's going to play up front? I'm just listening, I think me off, she's going to be out. And I don't fancy Chimene. And you get Danilo there, but I'm just hoping the other players, I know there's a lot of pressure on them. Midfielders, like, we need to score, like your Moores, Ferdinand, Tab, players like that.
I was going to say to you, Andy, that Chimiti has to score a goal one day, but I've got my learned friend Scott Allen here who says that he's had a look at him on Monday night and not for him. But I still think that one day Chimiti has to score that goal that means something. Never know, might be Sunday.
Yeah, Scott, the Bielski one is a question mark over him, so he still might play. The theory that Hugh puts forward, you know, you've got to leave that door open. If you're looking for an occasion to kick start,
I know.
You know, it turns out that a goalkeeping error against Kilmarnock was not your kick start, and there was no need to maybe do the old celebration and that stuff. But my goodness, get a winner. As the cliche goes, a winner off your backside at Tynecastle, they'll be flying.
Yeah, I just think that environment, pitch, Hearts were going to be aggressive. I watched them obviously Monday night, like I said, kind of ambled about. Didn't really put yourself about. He actually wasn't in areas where he could really score goals. So if the ball was going wide, he was coming over to the edge of the box looking to play the 1-2 with the winger instead of being between the posts. I was really surprised in terms of his movement. Listen, you're right, it just takes one goal to go in. You're hoping it might help his confidence, but at this moment in time, I just can't see it throughout a 90-minute performance. So I don't think he's one that Rangers fans are excited about at all.
Do you think there's any chance to offload him in the January window? On loan,
yeah, and maybe take a help on the wages. That's what you would expect. But at the same time, if you're a club out there and you watch him and you watch his games week to week, there's not a lot that would make you want to sign him. In my opinion, apart from he's tall.
Apart from he's tall, that's a ringing endorsement there. Andy makes a fair point, though. Hugh, actually, we're probably doing this with both teams at the moment. Because we're obsessed with big picture, you don't take games in isolation. Hearts are top of the league. Yeah. They've come to Glasgow. They've beaten both. They've beaten Celtic. So a draw for Rangers isn't a bad result. It's
No, you're
looking at that, the significance that would be if they could get the win, or the significance the other way if they lost.
Yeah, for both teams, you know, I can imagine what Tynecastle will be like, and Rangers will get a very restricted ticket allocation, and it will be rock and roll from the word go. If Hearts win this, they will feel like champions elect. But you're right, the draw temporarily for one day only, a draw is not a disaster.
I mean, Andy, are you taking a lot of heart from the run of results in the league that you've been on? How much is still missing from the performance level for you to believe that this is sustainable? Always remember Andy Halliday on the show a few weeks back, because people kept saying, look, we're winning ugly and that's fine and that's the most important thing. But Andy's kind of warning was that that's not sustainable. And then sure enough, Falkirk drop points, Dundee United drop points. You feel like you're over that?
I just think, I said a couple of weeks ago, I think in defensive-wise we look really, really disjointed. You know, one big, long, high ball, and we are struggling to cope with that. So, like, Ferdinand, and I mean, he looks a top decent player, but he's still got a lot to learn. So I'm a wee bit worried about defensive-wise, and obviously, going up front, you're going, well, we've not really got a goal scorer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Andy Fernandez is coming on to a game. He's no Ferdinand yet. Yeah. you're bumming him up there by changing his name. It took me a minute. I thought it was like a Christmas crossword. I was trying to figure out who it was.
Rio.
But then it dawned on me. It's close enough. Big Manny. It's kind of a threat in the opposition box as well, Scott. And that's part of it. You know, the kind of debate around set piece coaches. It's getting overblown in England. And now every time somebody scores, the camera goes on them and all that. But Rangers did appoint one. Hearts have got one. And if you're not free-flowing, yep, if you're not breaking teams down all over the place, be a threat from set pieces. And Rangers have had a couple in recent weeks.
They are, so I think they're the third highest. I think they've scored eight from set
and who's
pieces.
Who's the best?
Hearts. But what I would say is Rangers, to me, their main threat up until about 70 minutes when Hibs started chasing the game, Rangers' main threat was coming from cross balls and set pieces are wide free kicks. At the same time, Hibs did have their moments. Hibs were in great areas and just didn't have that final pass, that bit of quality that Hugh was talking about. So Rangers aren't perfect. It is going to be a really difficult game at Tynecastle on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Thank you very much to Andy on the line. It's 0141 951 1025 if you want to join in. Loads to look forward to in that match at Tynecastle. That game at Ibrox feels like ages ago, doesn't it? Because that was the day, yeah, that day had everything. That was the day where I think everybody took notice that Russell Martin was done. Oh. You know, he managed, said this last night, six games I think after that. But the atmosphere in the stadium that day was, remember that, yeah, was the day Derek McInnes said, I did not enjoy that. Yeah. I did not enjoy standing in the opposition dugout. It had the controversy over a couple of refereeing decisions, Lauren Shanklin's handball, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. So that was, if we get half the entertainment this time, I think everyone's in for a treat.
Tynecastle was made for days like this.
Yeah.
It's just such a fantastic setting. And I honestly believe it's 50-50 from this distance.
I think Hearts will see areas against Rangers to exploit. I do believe Rangers will have to get it. I think for Rangers to win, it will have to be their best performance under Danny Rowe domestically. Yeah.
Okay, thanks again to Andy on the line. Still time to get your calls in here for another 20 minutes or so you know the number by now. Get involved and let us know what you're thinking. You can tweet us, of course, at ClydeSSB. Let me dip our toes back into the teaser. Thanks to Aaron in Dunbar for sending it. Who are the last eight Scottish players to score in a League Cup final? Alarmingly, it took hints from me to suggest that you start in the League Cup final
from last Sunday.
From last week. Marcus Fraser, you went back a bit to 2017 and gave James Forrest. Any others that spring to mind?
Celtic won the League Cup three times in a row.
Celtic have won the loads.
Yeah, so it's got to be Celtic players.
Is there a Hibs player in there?
No.
No.
They're spineless.
Oh, sorry, no, there are. There is, I should say. One.
Boyle.
No.
Paul Hanlon.
He's not Scottish by our standards. Paul Hanlon. The quiz. Yes, do you remember it?
Yeah, I played that.
What was it? Did you? Was it your fault for switching off?
No. It was Kyogo's two goals, wasn't it?
Yeah, was that not when the Hibs fans were still celebrating?
Yeah.
And then you went up the other end?
Two unbelievable finishes, but we should have had a penalty in the last minute.
You could barely see through the smoke as well.
That's right.
The pyrotechnics.
One of my great moments. We were in here in the studio, and when Hibs scored, I started a sentence which in totality was, that might be the only goal of the game. And by the time I hadn't finished the sentence, and Kyogo had scored at the other end.
Oh, well, it's very unlike you. I'm sure
David Gray was the manager that day.
Oh, on an interim basis,
yes.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
In between
Jack Ross and Sean Maloney.
There you go. Mr. Hibbs over there. Did you play well individually?
I think I came on that day. I was okay.
I'll need to look back.
Stuart Armstrong.
No, we'll get the rest of the answers. Hopefully, we'll go on. In fact, give me another couple if you can, because I've got something I need to crack on with. I forgot about. Go on.
Did Bruni score?
Nope. Who else has won it significantly? So if it's not Celtic in that period,
St. Johnston,
right?
The centre back
scored in both finals.
Yeah,
did they not?
Headers.
More right back, maybe. Yeah. Would you say?
What was his name again?
Surnames.
Can get behind the initials.
Shares his surname with one of the greatest English attackers of all time.
First name Sean.
Sean Rooney.
Sean Rooney, number four on the list. Well done. You get Fraser, Hanlon, Rooney, Forrest. One, two. Yeah, about halfway there. So we'll get the rest when we return. Please tell me this is the night. Let's play this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Hugh Keevans was a young man when we started the Pundit Predictor, and we still have not had a single winner on it. Every Friday, all season, we have picked three games. We have asked you to predict the outcome of the three games for cash, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies, and we've not got it right one single time. What that means is, see the £100 that we started off with in week one? That's now £1,800. £1,800. You don't need to give us any money, and all you need to do is predict the outcome of three matches. What an opportunity. And this weekend, you have brilliant fixtures to look forward to. I don't know if they're predictable, but they're very good. Kilmarnock against Falkirk. Hearts against Rangers. And Celtic against Aberdeen. This is your last chance to win before Christmas. 01419511025. Over 18s only. We'll pick someone at random. The lines close at the end of this break.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
I love this competition, but the failure to land a winner on it is annoying me for a couple of reasons. First of all, I like to give money away, obviously, to the listeners. But second of all, it's strengthening Hugh Keevan's case that predicting football matches actually is quite hard. It's been great fun all these years telling him how hopeless he is, but it doesn't look like any of you are any better. So, if you're calling for the Pundit Predictor, we thank you as always for your interest. The phone lines are still red hot. Thank you for calling. You can hang up because the lines are now closed, and the caller we've picked at random to play the Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies is Scott in Kirkluck. How are you, Scott?
I'm all good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Do you usually do quite well predicting football matches, or?
I hit and miss. I was 1 yellow card away from Gogic at the final, so I was close enough for that one.
Did Gogic not get booked in the semi-final? In the final,
no,
sorry.
No, in the final, no. If he get booked, I would have won.
How much?
£1,300.
And Scott, I'll be honest with you, I would have thought he would have got booked as well, yeah. And he didn't. So you're unlucky.
Let's
tells a story, that, doesn't it?
Well, maybe. Let's see if you can get this right, Scott. Three matches for you. So all you need to do is tell me home win, draw, or away win for the following: Kilmarnock against Falkirk.
We win.
John McGlynn. Remember Chris Doolan in charge of Kilmarnock this weekend. Hearts against Rangers.
Away again.
Okay, so Falkirk Rangers double, and Celtic against Aberdeen.
Away again.
Wow. Three away wins. What odds would you get on that? Any bookmakers out there? So Rangers to beat Hearts, Aberdeen to beat Celtic, Falkirk to beat Kilmarnock. If Scott gets all three correct, he wins £1,800. Thanks again to Scott on the line, and we'll find out. Enjoy the matches over the weekend, and on Monday, hopefully, we'll give away £1,800.
What a weekend to win it.
By getting those three right, what would you go for incidentally?
Falkirk to win at Kilmarnock, Rangers to beat Hearts, and Celtic to beat Aberdeen.
Oh, you're tipping Celtic, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I thought you'd have gone the other way.
No,
are you a lot of averages guy then on this stuff?
Yeah. I've freely admitted earlier on that I just don't know. Nobody knows what to make of Celtic. Who can tell? But Celtic Park, surely.
I cannot have a scenario where our record set before you were born is broken. That's unthinkable. For the show.
When Andrew McLean's
no offence, Aberdeen.
But Andrew McLean's on here on Sunday, and somebody comes on and says, "Do you know the last time that happened? Hugh Keevans wasn't even born."
He told me that. So last night I was saying, "Oh, what? When was the last time they lost five in a row?" And he texts straight away, 1947, 2 years before I was born. And I shamelessly stole it on Sky today as well. I was going, I mean, for context, the last time they lost five in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have given the kudos to Hugh Keevans. Have I ever told you, actually, I don't think I did. Obviously, I live this sort of double life at work where I work for Sky a lot during the day and come on here. I did a live interview with Kenny Miller one time. I think I forgot to tell you this.
Oh.
Did a live interview with Kenny Miller, yeah. Right? For Sky. That's important to remember that.
Uh-huh.
After Scotland-Denmark, right? And he said live, you know, Kenny, how good was that last night? And he goes, it was amazing. And when Hugh Keevans was saying it was the best night he's ever seen.
He said that on Sky.
And I'm thinking, people in London are going to be going, who's this Hugh Keevans guy? And I was just waiting on a producer sort of saying, who's Hugh? But they didn't. So there you go.
See,
national fame.
When you have dinner with the PM.
Exactly. You probably knew.
Yeah.
Keir probably told them. Yeah. Anyway, right. A couple of other stories to tidy up from the weekend coming up. It's a nice sort of link in that Kilmarnock-Falkirk game. I love the Chris Doolan story where he wasn't even yet appointed the under-19s manager at Kilmarnock, but he was about to be, and therefore he's now taking the first team in the absence of Stuart Kettlewell. Does he just have a chance like everybody else then to go in there and try and
absolutely
make that his own?
It's an opportunity. And let's go back to what we say about all teams. If you win games of football, you strengthen your case for the job.
So and he'll know that because he did it at Thistle.
Yep.
And then, in case he's not noticed, the guy with the cardboard cut out in the corner, Mark Wilson's done it at, you know, Partick Thistle as well.
He's not getting a Christmas party here. You know, the second bottom of the league, they clearly feared relegation, and that's why Stuart Kettlewell paid for that fear with his job. So Chris Doolan, I wish him every success, but he's not been handed a gift here.
Yeah, I mean, look, well, Stuart Kettlewell sacked for a reason, Scott.
Yep.
Falkirk on a great run of form, maybe that kind of back down to earth, that's probably unfair, but you know, it had to come to an end. Hearts beat them, and John McGlynn kind of summed it up saying, we're possibly just not ready to compete with those teams at the moment, but they'll still fancy their chances of going there, won't they?
Yeah, I think they'll be confident. They've had enough good performances over the last 4 or 5 weeks that they'll believe they can go there. They'll listen to all about how you start the game. They'll know that Kilmarnock have a new manager. They've not been winning games of football, so they'll look to start well, and they do have players who can win you football matches. I think that's important.
And the big question, because you're still dealing with the sort of reality of a one day hangover, the next day hangover from the Christmas party, which is normal. Can St Mirren have a 5 day hangover? That's the question. How hard did they party in Paisley to see if it impacts their game against Livingston this
after
weekend?
After all the stories, and we've been running one here on Clyde today about Sir Alex sending a message to Stephen Robinson, it would be the ultimate embarrassment to then go to Livy and blow it.
Come on, Hugh. In unison, mean, what's wrong with you? Your old pal Marvin Bartley, they've come back and had a good draw.
No, I mean, when you have luxuriated in all of the praise and all the, they should build statues,
it's
they
not
should
an
made
embarrassment. Surely it's a real possibility that there is genuine, like, joking aside about the alcohol, because I'm sure they're professionals, an emotional hangover or anything like that, a simple, Hugh, where are St Mirren in the Premiership?
I understand that. They're only 5 points above Livingston.
It's no embarrassment for St Mirren to go to Livingston and lose a game.
You have been elevated to a different status by winning that cup. You don't want to go and lose the very next game after that. You should go there.
I know you
metaphorically
don't,
10 feet tall.
I know you don't want to, but your romance is taking over. Because go. Let's go facts then. Let's take the names and the history out of it. A team, another team, there's 5 points in it in the league. It cannot be an embarrassment for that to not play out the way you think it does.
I believe there's more of a false nature about St Mirren's position than there is about Livy. Livy don't win matches. Last one in August, and that's why they are where they are. But I believe St Mirren, and they proved it against Celtic, are better than their league position suggests.
I would agree with that, for what it's worth. I don't think anybody thinks St Mirren are the ninth best team in the league, do they?
No.
The other interesting one, Motherwell against Dundee, on paper, Hugh Keevans would predict a Motherwell win.
Yep.
I think most people would. What's been interesting over the last few weeks, Scott, is the very specific attention teams have been paying to stopping Motherwell first and then dealing with the rest. Falkirk ripped up the formation, changed half their team, and it worked in the sense they got a 0-0 draw and Motherwell didn't enjoy as much possession as they normally would. Again, going up to Tannadice, it was probably Dundee United's priority was stop Motherwell first, and they did a 0-0 draw. So
it'll be no different. Dundee will set up. You'd imagine that back five.
So is that game actually harder to predict than what the league table and the form guide would tell you?
Well, it's easier when you're going out with that I was going to say negative attitude, but that attitude to stop another team playing, because yourself on the ball, you're not expecting the same way, which James Berth will ask you, expect his players to control the game. They will control the game. It's just whether they can play through Dundee, who will be in that low block that we talk about, and can they take their chances. I'm with you, Gordy. The amount of teams that have genuinely changed their whole structure just for the Motherwell, that's the respect that they've gained for the football we've been playing. But
see that hangs about me at the gym in the morning. He's slipped in a Gordy on air.
Yeah,
I think it's the first time he's done that. That's because he's hanging from last night.
Nah, bro. Anyway,
that's unforgivable. We're all pals. That's fine.
The way I look at it, a Motherwell win and they leapfrog Rangers, if only for slightly less than 24 hours, and would then go 2 points behind Celtic into the bargain. Marvellous incentive for Mercedes Jens.
No Maswanisi, joint top scorer in the league away to AFCON. Yeah. But Regan Charles Cook sits on the bench sometimes, and so does Ibrahim Saeed. And, you know, we will see. Right, you've got major work to do in this teaser. The last eight Scottish players to score in a League Cup final: Marcus Fraser, Paul Hanlon, Sean Rooney, James Forrest. There are three Celtic players you've not got.
Craig Taylor.
Yes, against Rangers, well done.
Griffiths?
No. What about that kind of Brendan Rodgers first spell? Who were his main sort of attacking midfielders?
Sure,
Scotland national team player. Playing in England currently.
Ryan Christie.
Okay, is someone... Brendan Rodgers hadn't left by then, had he? Anyway, back to 2015 and 16. So we're back at the start of this period. Celtic 2, Dundee United 0. A Scotsman scored. Uh-huh. Okay, so
are Kitty on Scotsman?
No, I mean, his credentials will be there, I'm sure, but doesn't sound like you or I.
Oh, Chris Commons,
well done. And Ross County Hibs was the 2016 one we're looking for.
How was that game? Ross County player?
Mm-hmm.
Figers?
Nope. Very much that era, that team. You've got the right. Played for Celtic as a kid, I think. Dundee United. But more famously, Ross County. Michael Gardine. Okay, thank you, Hugh Keevans. And thank you, Scott Allen, up the road. Get to your bed. Rest up. Who have you, Scott Bride, got tomorrow?
We have Annan.
At home?
At home, so if you're in, you should go by there and get down and watch us.
The big one. George Bowie's up next with the GBX. Have a good Friday.